First things I can say about the Shunammite woman is that we need to be prayed up and we need to be all that the Lord has called us to be, even in the midst, in the environment of turmoil, of distress, of grief, of difficult times, when we can sense we're being persecuted and this world about us is no longer godly, a godly place. Even if it should come to that, we need to hold strong. We need to keep about us all of the armor of God and be ready for whatever he may call us to do in that time. I think this great woman speaks to us mightily, even though she be a Gentile. God had truly blessed her. Well, we see that Shunem is just about located, when we look on a map, south of the Sea of Galilee and straight across, kind of right in the center of Israel, you'll find Shunem. Well, first of all, I'd like to make an acronym of that word great. She indeed was great. First of all, she was gracious. The prophet had an itinerant ministry, and he traveled to and fro and all around that country, spreading the word of God. And so he stopped in Shunem, and this woman, being gracious as she was, she spotted him. And she says, "My, look, there is a man of God." And so she just knew that in her heart. And she said to him, "We would like to have you come over for dinner." That's pretty good. We need to wear our clerical collars when we're shopping, see? So he went, and she was gracious, her and her husband, and they wanted him to spend time there. So, you see, it says that she was wealthy, but it wasn't in the financial sense. They had a farm there where they had crops to raise, but they were both hard workers. She is not of royal blood. She is not of great rank. She's not wealthy. And she wasn't beautiful, so to speak, as the world would call beautiful to its standard. She was gracious. She was loving. Well, this woman saw Elijah as a man of God. I say the second thing is she was receptive. She saw that this prophet had certain needs, and he needed a place when he was coming through Shunem to do his studying, kind of have a place that he could rest. And so she said to her husband, "We need to build a room upstairs. And on our roof, let's build a place, put a stairs in, nice circular staircase or something. We could get down at Home Depot." And so he made it pretty nice, you know, a nice bed and a chair and a table and a place where he could study. So that became the place where he stayed when he was there. Now she was also, we see that she was gracious. She was receptive. She was also an evangel. That is, she believed in the Word of God, and she loved the Word of God. She liked the idea of the prophet going to and fro and speaking about the Lord and what it meant to serve God and not Baal. So she was this evangel. You know, when Phyllis and I were starting out in the ministry, we had our first church in Yorba Linda, California, and my good friend Gary Beard was also, he had a church that was close by in Orange County in Santa Ana, and we would get together every so often. Well, Gary said to me one day that a friend of mine Bob Musman is just recently, he became an evangelist. Now, Bob Musman, he was a Sears and Roebuck salesman. I mean, he was a good salesman. He could sell Eskimos ice cubes, that kind of a salesman. And so he had this special calling to become an evangelist. And so Gary said to me, he's coming out west. He would like to meet us. And he would like to have his ministry include several different churches and go from church to church, that sort of thing, to do some evangelism. Well, I said, I can understand that. And so I went with Gary. We met him at the airport, L.A. airport, at about 3:30 in the morning. My goodness, I couldn't believe the plane came in. I didn't know they ran that early. But we met him, and we had breakfast there together at the airport. And I got to see Bob and what kind of a fellow he was. I mean, he's one of those guys that you just like right off. What a blessing it was to be in his presence. And so he was ordained. He had worked and got his ordination, and now he's an evangelist. I hate to say that Bob just passed away this last year. He being in his 80s, he had had a heart condition, and but in the years that he was with us, it was wonderful. Every church that I pastored, Bob would come every year, and we would have a week of evangelism. I remember those times, and they were very special. He first started out not having a place to stay. And so we would offer him, you know, one of the rooms in our house. But we had three young children. And it wasn't the best of places, although our three children were just, you know. Anyway, we saw fit to put them up somewhere else. You know? And so there would be somebody in the church that would be kind of single or so, and then they'd have an extra bedroom, and so it would be better for Bob. Finally, he got a fifth wheel. Oh, it was a nice one. He bought it in Texas. And we helped him with that. We were able to have some fundraisers and raise some money so Bob could get this fifth wheel. And he would pull that around to various churches. He served many churches here in Arizona. I'd call ministers and tell them they have to put Bob on their docket. And every January and part of February, he would come out. In fact, actually, he was serving on 3 months of being out here, out west, between California and Arizona. So, anyway, we're talking about evangel. She was an evangel. She believed in evangelism. That is, telling the word of God and have people respond to it. Kind of reminding people that we're all sinners and that we all need to be filled with faith, and we all need to commit ourselves to Jesus Christ as Lord of our life. And so Bob would have altar calls. He would invite people forward, I remember in the church when we'd say, now this is going to be the night of evangelism. Why, you could just see some of the people, they were, oh, I can't make it tonight. I've got to watch that thing on TV, and I've got things to do. I can't be there tonight. But I don't know what to say about that. You know, I want to be very careful here. I'm a short timer. I forgot. I don't need to be careful. Anyway, I remember some great moments. When Bob would call for an altar call, and some people would come, and they would just pour out their life, and it was marvelous. I remember a neighbor of ours when we lived in California, Monrovia, and he came, and I remember this lady across the street. I didn't know she was, in fact, I didn't even know him really very well, and saw her outside, and I went over and I spoke to her. I said, "We're having an evangelist come. Are you interested in, are you going to church anywhere?" "No, I don't go to church. In fact, my husband and I are thinking about a divorce." I thought, "Oh, no." I said, "You know, Bob Musman's coming, and he's really a nice guy. I would sure like to encourage you to come." And so she did. She came out, and Bob spoke to her before the service. And she asked Jesus to be Lord of her life. And I don't know what ever happened to her, but I hope and pray that she is still finding comfort and still believing up to this day. Who knows? But an evangel was like the Shunammite woman. And also she, the next thing is, we've got G-R-E-A. She said, "I am with my own people." Because Elisha had offered her a nice, comfortable job, a nice paying job with the king, or with some military officials that Elisha knew that he could get her a position. And she says, "Oh no, my lord, I'm just a regular person here in this community, and this is where I belong, here." She was A-okay with her position and where she was, even with all her aches and with all her pains. She was satisfied. Yet Gehazi said, "Well, she has no child." And so that's when the prophet said, "We can fix that." She was all, lastly, filled with tenacity. She wouldn't give up. What happened with the Shunammite woman and this boy was that when he was old enough to be a teenager, while he was helping his father in the field with some of the crops, and they were working in the field with some of the servants, and all of a sudden he says, my head. He had either had a stroke or something had happened to him. And his father said, "Take him to the house and give him to his mother." And so one of the servants carried him to the house, and his mother took him. She held him in her arms, and he died. She took and carried him upstairs and laid him on the prophet's bed. She went out to her husband, and she said, "I'm going to the prophet. I need to take one of the servants." He said, "Well, it's not a holiday. It's certainly not the Sabbath." And she says, "I must go." And so she went, and she told the servant to just take the burrow as fast as you can. Don't worry about me. And so they did. Finally, they came to the place where the prophet could see her coming in the distance. And he says, "Oh, look, there's the Shunammite lady. Why, Gehazi, go and see how it is with her and how it is with her husband and the boy." And so Gehazi, he goes and he says, "How is it with you and your family, your husband and the boy?" And she says, "Oh, it's fine." And she proceeds to the prophet. And she gets to the prophet and she falls on her knees and she grabs his feet. Gehazi was about to remove her from that spot when the prophet said, "No, leave her. I can see she is in such anguish. What is it?" She said, "Oh, my Lord, you came, you gave me a son, but he's died. How could such a thing like this happen to me?" He said to Gehazi, "Take my staff and go and put the staff on the head of the boy and raise up the boy." Gehazi went, and she remained there at the prophet's feet, and she said, "I am not going anywhere until you go. Very well, he said, I'll go. So the prophet went with her, and as they were going, why, here came Gehazi. And he said, I did as you said, but the boy is still dead. And so the prophet went, and he went up to the upper room, and he closes the door behind him. He lays down upon the bed. He takes his arms, legs, on top of the boy, and breathes into the boy until his body becomes warm. And then he coughs 7 times and come up off the bed. He summoned Gehazi, says, get the Shunammite. She came and took her boy in her arms. She bowed at the prophet's feet, and he says, it's all well now. You see, this was a lady with tenacity. She had the Spirit of God so in her that she knew that only he could raise up the boy. And that's how it is. And that's what God calls of us. I close with a story. When Phyllis and I went to Coolidge, a church between Phoenix and Tucson, about halfway, and it was our first church by ourselves, not having another pastor there, and it was my first year there, and I remember one of the ladies in the church, a very staunch lady, was ill and was in the hospital in Tucson. I remember jumping in that old truck. I had a Toyota truck, and it was a little worn out. I had driven that truck everywhere. I think it had 100,000 miles at this point, so it should have had a lot more miles left on it, and I thought it did, but the air conditioner no longer worked. I don't know if it even had an air conditioner, except the windows were all down, and that was it. And so I took off for Tucson to visit in the hospital. I remember coming into Tucson and trying to locate the streets where that hospital was located, and found it. And then I realized that I had forgotten my wallet. Can you believe going on a trip without your wallet? Well, I got in a big hurry, and I just took off. My mother used to call me Second Trip Gary. Well, let's not dwell on that. So, off I went. I thought, well, what do I need the wallet for? I can do without lunch. But then I realized I was out of gas. Another one of those gas stories. So I thought, I can't worry about that now. I visited the hospital. We had a great time of prayer. And then I went back out to the truck. I got in. And I wasn't smart enough to think about, well, try to go to a bank and borrow some money somewhere. I'm sure we must have had a bank account. But I don't remember now. They probably, without my wallet and stuff, would have wondered about me. So I said, Lord, I prayed. Lord, if it be possible, just to get me back to Coolidge. Just get me back to the church. That's all I need. And I'm sorry, I forgot what I was doing here. but I really need your help. You know, I have to say, this was really a special time afterwards. I mean, I called on the Lord just as if he was sitting there in the passenger side. And Lord, if you want to get the Coolidge, you're going to have to put some gas in this truck. So I know it's about an hour and a half drive, and you can't drive very far on when it says empty. Anyway, I rounded the corner where the Catholic Church is, and I got down to the Catholic Church and ran out of gas. I put the clutch in and coasted to my parking place at the Methodist Church. And I sat there for a long time and pondered what has just happened. The Shunammite, a great woman, because she believed and she had a heart, an expectant heart, that she was determined to serve God and whatever he called her to do. She was open to the Shunammite, or to the prophet and all that he needed. Glory be to God. He blesses us in so many wonderful ways. We just have to trust and believe in him. He wants to be our faithful companion and our ever-present guest if we just allow it.